Hello, hello. Welcome to the show. I'm Joy Dooling, and you are listening to the Joy of Membership podcast. This podcast is for membership leaders. So we talk about strategies for attracting, engaging, and retaining members. But that's not entirely the focus of the show, because let's be honest here, there is no shortage of advice out there on best practices in membership. What we need to talk about is how to actually make those things possible in the real world, how to be absolutely sure that growth practices are going to stick, how to make those things easier, more consistent, and even automatic in some cases. Sound good? Then stick around because we're about to jump into it. Hey there, Joy Dooling here, host of the Joy of Membership podcast. Thanks for being here. I know that there are many ways that you could be spending your time today, and I appreciate that you have chosen to spend a few minutes with me. Joining me today on the show is Karen Knight. Karen is a consultant and volunteer leadership expert. As district director of Toastmasters International, Karen had 20 leaders reporting directly to her and another 80 reporting to them, all volunteers. She also currently serves as the vice president of the board of directors for the Kamloops Therapeutic Writing Association. She's taken all of this experience with volunteers and turned it into a framework for turning volunteers into an enthusiastic, reliable, and committed team. That's something I thought you would be interested in hearing about. After my chat with Karen, I'll pop back on to share a few additional thoughts about this season of appreciation and some ideas for budget-friendly ways that you can say thanks to the people who make a difference for your organization all year long. So stay tuned for that. Karen, welcome. I'm so glad you were able to join me today.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. Well, why don't we just start where I always do, which is share with us who you are and who you help.
My name is Karen Knight. I am a Canadian. I live in a small town called Kamloops, which is about 3 hours outside of Vancouver, BC. So that's where I'm from. And I help volunteer organizations with their volunteer programs. So if you can't find enough volunteers or your volunteers aren't reliable or any of that sort of thing, that's what I do is I can come in and help. And I also mentor and teach volunteer coordinators.
Oh, and there are so many organizations that are very much dependent on volunteers to run their programs, to, you know, support their members, to put on different projects every year. So such important work and important to have the right people in those roles.
Right. Absolutely. I've seen horrible things happen because people think, well, we have to have it. So they bring in any live body they can. And it goes sideways fast. It's better to have nobody in a position than to have the wrong person in.
And of course, the reverse of that is that you can have some amazing volunteers that have amazing training and accomplish really cool things.
So. Absolutely. There are incredible people out there.
How did you get involved in volunteerism, volunteer training?
I volunteered all my life, really, in various ways. I was a big sister. I've done all sorts of things. When I got into leading volunteers was through the organization Toastmasters International. And it's a member organization and it's all volunteer run. Our international president is a volunteer. So it goes right through. And I just loved the difference that volunteers can make. They change the whole dynamic of the organization and add so much heart to it that I thought I want to help people. And I've seen so many bad things happen if volunteers either aren't appreciated properly or aren't trained properly. All this stuff can take an organization completely sideways. So I wanted to learn to make a difference in the world. And I used to be a cabinet maker. That was my trade. I built kitchen and bathroom cabinets and things like that. So I figured I want to do something that makes a difference in the world. And so this was where it went.
That is awesome. I could say you're the first person I've ever interviewed on this podcast who was a cabinet maker at one time in their life.
It's a wonderful thing. You can't see it, but I have a whole library of bookcases behind me. I built them all. This is my happy place. It's my library.
Oh my God.
But yeah.
Awesome. So let's talk about some of the common challenges that you see organizations have with their volunteer programs.
Certainly. The two most common ones that I get when I talk to volunteer coordinators or executive directors or volunteers themselves is reliability and commitment. They either don't show up when they say they're going to show up, or they come, they get trained, they work for a couple of weeks, and then you never see them again. Those are the main two issues that organizations seem to have with volunteers. And in both cases, in my opinion, it comes down to appreciation. It's they don't feel appreciated, or they don't feel that they're making a difference. I'll tell you a story. I was in my volunteer life. I went and volunteered for a museum, quite a large museum. And they said, okay, well, show up on such and such a time and we'll get you started. So I showed up at such and such a time, and the person in charge had no idea I was coming. They had nothing for me to do. They ended up having me do make work projects. And I thought, okay, well, it was my first time. It was unexpected, blah, blah. That happened 3 weeks in a row. And I said, okay, well, I'm done. I never went back. You have to feel like you're making a difference. Otherwise, what's the point?
So how can organizations make their volunteers feel appreciated?
There's a bunch of ways. There's four kind of key areas that you can work on. And the first one's just informal thank yous, just thanking people. What I tell my clients is every volunteer, every shift, thank them. And if you can be specific, say, I saw you working with this one client. You were right on it that time. So great job. That sort of thing. Cause it shows them that you're really watching and that you really appreciate exactly what you're doing. Hey, great job is good if you haven't noticed anything in particular, but every volunteer, every shift, say thank you. The second one is kind of tangible gratitude. If you see someone going above and beyond, a $5 coffee card. I mean, it doesn't cost much, and a lot of places will donate it for a charity anyways to do that. But that sort of thing, or offer to be a job reference for them, something that they can take away. Then public acknowledgement, posted on Facebook or whatever your social media platform is. Say, hey, we have these amazing volunteers. Here's our top volunteer of the month. This is what they did. They worked X number of hours, or they made this much difference or whatever. Just shout it out. Now, you have to check with them first, because not everybody wants their name and face splattered all over the internet. But it's something that a lot of people really appreciate, because you're telling the world about how wonderful they are. And it's good in another way, because it's kind of a sneaky way of doing it, maybe. But when things like that have happened to me, I share it to my entire network. Oh, look, I volunteer the month, right? Which adds, it's marketing for the organization, right? And it shows prospective volunteers that this organization really likes their volunteers, really appreciates them. And the final one is volunteer appreciation events, like a yearly event or after a big, like if you're the Olympics, for example, they bring all their volunteers. They have a big celebration afterwards. And so those are the four ways that I recommend my clients to thank their volunteers.
Well, what I like about what you're sharing is that sprinkling in appreciation all year round is so important. And I know this podcast is going to be airing in the middle of December. So a lot of organizations are thinking about appreciation now, because it's the holiday season and you send your Christmas greeting cards. You say thank you to all of the people who have helped you all year round. But then, you get into the rest of the year and oftentimes there's not so much of an effort to do that. I mean, maybe if there's like a big event or something like that and you had volunteers helping with a big fundraiser or something, you know, there might be some thank yous sent out after the event. But I love the approach of every volunteer, every shift, or at least sprinkling it in often.
Yes, they need to hear it. I mean, what I say is appreciation is the air that volunteers breathe. If they don't have it, they'll be gone. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. They'll just walk away if they don't feel appreciated.
Well, and one of the things that happens in associations and trade groups is that you often end up with the same people volunteering a lot for a long period of time with no new blood coming in. And I mean, you just have these old soldiers who are doing the work, and you know, you need to spread the labor around a little bit. So it's important to be attracting new volunteers in all the time, because your old soldiers need a little bit of rest sometimes, and yes, you need to be nurturing your newer volunteers.
Exactly, exactly. Burnout is endemic in volunteer organizations, because an organization finds somebody who's good, and then they just give them more and more and more and more. And eventually, it's the worst thing you can do. I know it's so tempting because they are good. You know that they're going to do it. You know they're going to do a good job. You know you don't have to babysit them to do it. But like you said, have them mentor someone else so you have new people coming in. So you have two or three or four people like that rather than just one, because you load that one person down too much. And then what are you going to do when they walk? And they will walk.
Right? So in the work that you have done with organizations, you're teaching volunteer coordinators, you're helping organizations kind of assess their volunteer programs and improve them. Can you give us a couple of examples? You don't have to name any names, but a couple of examples of organizations that you've really seen elevate their volunteer program?
I work with a therapeutic riding association. So just a tiny, tiny local organization. And they started doing that. Like, they had this high turnover, this constant change of people. And they were saying, this is so frustrating because we have to keep training people all the time. And I said, okay, the first thing we should do is thank every volunteer, every shift, right? Let's start there. It's the easiest one to implement. And so they started that. And it turned out that they had all the staff instructors, every staff member thanked every volunteer they saw, every shift. Their retention rate skyrocketed. People really appreciate being appreciated, right? It made a massive difference. So now, instead of having volunteers that stick around for one session, like one training session, they'll stick around for 2 or 3 years or longer. I mean, they have one volunteer now who has been there for 15 years or something. He's in his 80s and he still shows up, right? And it's because people feel appreciated, right? And that's just a simple thing. Thank every volunteer, every shift.
If an organization thinks that maybe they need to do some work around their volunteer programs,
right,
where's the best place for them to start?
One thing that I recommend my clients do, I have a kind of a model that I follow, and it starts with recruitment, and then it goes to onboarding and training, management, and program review, and then back to recruitment. And all of that takes place within an atmosphere of overt volunteer appreciation and respect. But the one that just about none of them do is a program review. And I recommend you review your volunteer program annually. So you set a benchmark. This is where we are. This is our ideal state. This is what a perfect volunteer program for us would look like, right? And then every year, how much closer are we to that perfect state? Like, well, nobody's ever perfect. It'll never get there. But the closer you are, the better your volunteers will be, the farther your mission will go, right? Because your volunteers drive your mission. And the better your volunteers, the more your mission can do.
Yeah. And like most things in organizations, you really can't change it unless you get very specific around what you want the endpoint to look like. So
right.
Yeah, that program review makes a lot of sense.
And yet almost nobody does it. They get something in place and it tends to be kind of cobbled together over the years. Oh, we should do this. And oh, diversity is a big thing. We should stick that on. And so you have this kind of cobbled together mess that they call a program, and they have no idea what it's supposed to do necessarily or what it should look like. So if you just once a year just sit down, how is it working? Is it doing what we want it to do? Then it makes a massive difference.
Yeah, I could totally see that. So if an organization would like to connect with you and learn more about what you do in this arena, where's the best place for us to send them?
Be my website. It's karenknight.ca. So Karen with a K-N-I-G-H-T. So Knight in Shining Armor, if you want. So karenknight.ca. And note the C-A because I am Canadian. So it's not com. It's C-A.
Got it. We'll make sure we put that in the show notes so people get the URL exactly right.
Perfect.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Karen, for being here today and sharing some initial thoughts about volunteer programs and showing appreciation. Perfect for this season, but we want to encourage people to do it all year round. So
that's great. Thank you so much, Joy.
Of course. Hey there, Joy here, back with a few thoughts about this week's episode. So this is the time of year when it feels completely natural to be thinking about member appreciation. And perhaps showing appreciation not just to members, but also to volunteers, contractors, and staff who make a difference in your mission all year long. So every December, I try to put out a blog post or an email with a few ideas for ways that you can easily show appreciation on things that don't require a lot of time, money, or other resources. So today, I'll give you ideas that you can play with. Idea number one. So I have to admit that I'm a sucker for a great pun. I just think that having a clever, lighthearted gift that makes someone smile when they open it and read the card is a double blessing. So consider Nacho Ordinary Volunteer with a package containing some chips and salsa. Appreciate you a latte with a coffee gift card. Thank you for being one of my favorite peeps with a package of Peeps candy, or I think you're super cool with some packets of Kool-Aid drink mix. With these gifts, it truly is the thought that counts, but these can be really fun to give and get. Idea number two, a framed photograph can be a very thoughtful gift, especially if it's personalized and it includes a thoughtful note. If you've taken some photos at events this year, there may be an image among those that would capture the spirit of your organization perfectly. You can even kind of make this a little more special by hiring someone from Fiverr or one of the other freelance sites to, you know, change the photograph into a watercolor or into a digital cartoon or something like that, just to dress it up and make it a little more special. And if you do have a little bit of a budget, you can even take those special photographs and have them printed onto a cute little gift box at giftable.com that's spelled just the way you would expect giftable to be spelled, but you drop off the E on the end. Idea number three, I love to gift learning experiences, providing an experiential gift. So you can gift a course from someplace like Udemy, and that's a great way to show people that you support their interests and passions. In addition to all sorts of business topics, you can find specialty courses like vegan cooking classes or art and music classes. There's something that's sure to fit with your organization's brand, or something that is a perfect match for a special hobby, and you can get a course that supports that. Now, an important thing with using this idea is that as you share the gift with your recipients, especially if you are providing something extra like this to members, it's really important that they know that this isn't just another offer from your organization, that this isn't an ordinary thing that's included in their membership. This is something special that is handpicked by you for them as a way of showing your deep appreciation. And then the fourth idea is that if your volunteers, staff, or other special people are local, you have some more options. So you can do what my husband has done for years and purchase beautiful holiday pies for everyone. These typically cost about $10 per pie when you buy them in bulk. And because it's the holidays, they're often decorated in a way that is pretty and seasonal. Our favorite to give has been a chocolate silk pie that's decorated on top to look like a holiday wreath. It really creates a reaction when someone opens the box. And everybody gets invited to, you know, parties and gatherings over the holidays. So it gives them something that they can take with them to share with others if they know they won't eat it at home with their family. When I was executive director for a membership-based nonprofit, I gave apples from Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory one year. I don't know if you've ever seen these, but they are huge apples on a stick, and they're decorated with chocolate and caramel drizzle and candies. They are really amazing. So I got a selection of those. I put some holiday ribbon around them, and I delivered them to our December board meeting. Now, I would love to hear what your experience has been around showing appreciation in your organization. Do you have something special that you do as a tradition? Or maybe you're trying something new this year. I'd love to hear about it. With that, I will close out this week's episode. Thanks for being here. Have a wonderful holiday season, and I will be back with you in 2022. Hey there, you made it all the way to the end. Bravo to you. I'm back in just one last time to remind you that there's a free one-page PDF available over at the website that shows you more than 20 ways that technology could be supporting your efforts to attract, engage, and retain more members. It's actually broken down into the stages of the member journey, so you'll know exactly where each piece fits. And everything that's on that one pager can actually be automatically done for you with software that costs less than $1,000 per year. So if you haven't already grabbed it, you can get your copy at joyofmembership.com/tech. joyofmembership.com/tech, TECH. Have a great week, and I'll see you next time.